All right, this week we're having a hard conversation, a tough conversation, but a necessary conversation. And I'm talking with my new friend, Brian Bradley, attorney at law. And we're talking about protecting your assets during and after this coronavirus crisis, right after this.
Welcome back, Tribe. You are listening to Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box, where we invite doctors, dentists, and medical entrepreneurs who are breaking the mold, stepping outside the box as entrepreneurs, and practicing on their terms to share their journey, wisdom, and their inspiration with the world. I am your host, Dr. Myesha Claiborne. My calling is to help doctors find freedom, fulfillment, and full self-expression. I have helped dozens of medical professionals transform their mindset, leverage their skill set, and build profitable businesses and careers they love. Now, let's get to the good stuff. But before we do, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you never miss an opportunity for inspiration, motivation, and empowerment with me and our amazing guests. Now, let's take it to the next level, y'all. Here we go.
All right, y'all, we're back here and Next Level Physicians, Thriving Outside the Box. And, you know, I like to bring the fire. I like to bring the tough conversations, the necessary conversations that we doctors need to be thinking about, especially during times like this, to protect our assets, to know what we need to be thinking about during this crisis in business. And one of the people that is a leading educator in this realm is Brian Bradley. He is a leading educator and asset protection attorney for high-risk professionals, entrepreneurs, real estate investors, and high-net-worth families. Brian's goal is to give you peace of mind, knowing your assets are safe. Brian also acts as Chief Knowledge Officer for law firms, helping them maximize their value along with technology integration. He was selected to the Lawyer's Distinction List 3 years in a row, 2018 through 2020, Super Lawyer Rising Star List 2015, nominated to America's Top 100 High Stake Litigators List, nominated to 2017 Law Firm 500 Award, and he also writes and teaches on high-end asset protection. Brian has been featured on numerous investing, real estate, cash flow, finance, and coaching shows. And I'm honored and excited to have him today on my podcast. Welcome, Brian. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Myesha, for having me on and putting this podcast together. And, you know, this really is going to be a big topic, especially for, you know, physicians and those doctors who are also investing and taking their life to the next level and trying to step out and control their own destiny and getting some financial freedom. And so I think we're going to jump into some really great topics on how to protect all that.
Yeah. So I want to start out with just the overview from your perspective on what's going on. How are you seeing it from your perspective, and what are some of the things that you're feeling like, doctors have to be thinking about this?
Yeah, so I think that whenever you go out and buy something, or you start adding liability or visibility to yourself, or, you know, you have the perception of deep pockets, like I'm a doctor, I have a white coat. Whether you have the big salary or not, you just have the initials at the end of your name, you're going to be considered a mark and a target. And so what we try to do is just add pieces to the building block of how to protect you from that. And a lot of doctors don't think about the fact that their liability goes beyond just medical malpractice. You know, there's always a business side that goes beyond malpractice. There's billing issues, payroll violations, sexual harassment claims. You know, then there's other internal areas that aren't covered from medical malpractice. And then you add on those other external issues like owning property that you practice out of, or if you're also investing and have other assets or side businesses, that has more liability to it. You have kids driving your car. And so The whole idea is to set up the protection and the planning beforehand, before something bad happens, so you can rest easier at night. And so that's what we do. And
So, you know, this, we're in the midst of, and at the time of this recording, and I'm sure at the time that we release the podcast, we're still going to be in it. But at the time of this recording, we're like right in the thick of this COVID-19 crisis.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we were kind of chatting before the show, you know, there are some things that I hadn't even thought about that we as physicians need to be thinking about coming down the pipeline. You know, I would love for you to kind of start to create that for us, and so that we know, well, what is it that we need to be thinking about?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great question. It's a really deep topic. And I'm going to answer it from both the medical side and the business side of it, because there's, you know, liability on both sides of it. Mm-hmm. And at first, I wasn't even sure I wanted to talk about this yet. You know, like, it's very emotional. Some people are hurting, some lost loved ones, some people, you know, are lost in what to do, and clients who are doctors and real estate investors and syndicators are business as usual. So that means liability and risk is going to continue going. And so that's where I still have to do my job.
Yeah.
So COVID is a big concern, and doctors, investors, businesses need to understand how it's going to change and impact their businesses and their employees, customers, their brand operation, you know, and their revenue going forward. There's simply no doubt that global health emergencies and financial crises, pandemics, create great risk to wealth. Mm-hmm. Very few of us are ever positioned to handle them, you know, let alone even try to financially benefit from them.
Mm-hmm.
The key in any crisis first is just to weather the storm. You know, what's obvious is that, you know, if income goes down without expenses going down in the same amount, then you're going to start depleting your assets.
Mm-hmm.
Income is most likely not yet under most people's direct control. Some doctors, you know, their business as usual, it's fine. But what you need to do is get control over your assets and protect your hard assets like real estate, because they give you the ability to subsidize that reduced income to ride out the crisis.
Mm.
And so the sad thing is that we now have to add liability, which is going to be caused by COVID-19, to the list of things that doctors and investors and business owners need to plan for. You know, and security becomes critical now. You want your assets and your equity to be safe. And so what we're looking at from, you know, the legal bar associations that we're talking about and, you know, the litigation arena is concerns about a substantial rise in what's called casualty claims or employee claims and other organizational claims. And so to break some of these examples down, like general liability claims alleging negligence for failing to protect a customer or an invitee, you know, especially if a death is involved. And that can extend to a family member, not just an employee going to work. You know, they can be going to work, catching COVID, being asymptomatic, coming home and giving it to a family member.
Mm.
Or we're talking about casualty insurance claims for negligent acts. You know, the government's already talking about indemnifying certain companies from liability who are, you know, mass producing the medical supplies that we need that we have short amounts of.
Wow.
Or in the medical field, we're also looking at liability for negligence, misdiagnosis, wrongful death, unintentional transmissions, and more. The insurance providers aren't sure how to potentially cover doctors for example, like off-label use of drugs for treatment of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, there's only, you know, what is it? They're looking to cover what's based on facts and circumstances of their already existing coverage.
Right.
And so, and this is just such a work in progress that, you know, part of what we're talking about today may change tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're just going to feel this out as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the case even with, you know, the enactment of the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act.
Mm.
And with COVID-19, it looks like you're going to be potentially trying off-label use and therapeutic treatments until something, you know, sticks.
Yeah.
So your insurance providers are already looking at wiggle room out of the coverage because it's been classified as a pandemic.
Mm.
And then the scary thing is that you can be making treatment decisions that could then trigger malpractice claims.
Mm.
And then on the investment and the business side, we're also preparing for the possibility that insurance industries may experience what's called negative coverage. And this because it's a classification of COVID-19 as a pandemic.
Wow.
Right, exclude the coronavirus altogether for employees' liability coverage.
Wow.
So this is the shot in the foot to casualty claims that you would think your insurance provider would cover, and now you're personally on the hook for them.
Wow.
And it's because of the World Health Organization classifying COVID-19 as a global health emergency. And so, you know, it's kind of like a gloomy topic, but
yeah.
there's always sunshine and rainbows, you know, like I always think of looking for silver linings, and there's things that you can do. A few of the steps to take are to recognize that your income is being reduced and your expenses aren't. Next, you need to take steps to protect your hard assets because they're critical to giving you the ability to weather the storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't afford to let a creditor decide how to use them if you're sued during this epidemic.
Mm.
The final step is to create a plan. So first, reduce your expense, especially if you're a business owner, but do it efficiently. You know, like, don't do it to the point where you're handicapping your business to the point that you can't even, you know, create leads or work or function or evolve.
Right.
You know, you need to be able to make money and be ready to, you know, all systems and pistons firing 6 months down the line.
That's so great. I just want to just, you know, chime in here because I think that's so great for business owners to hear. Like, you know, there is being mindful of the expenses and cutting back on expenses. But I think the automatic way of being that people go to is, oh, you know, like, I got to cut everything. It's going to be solopreneur. And I actually had a friend who got laid off. And he's not a physician, but this is just the mindset, right? He got laid off. All of the employees got laid off except for the owner and an assistant.
Yeah.
And that would be like an example of taking it to the extreme, right?
I think so. Or just there's another way of doing it, of just finding new ways to do your business. Maybe
right.
You need to have an at-home platform right now, and you can still be business as usual. You know, go get Zoom. Go have a web-based method. So it's just military principles. Improvise, modify, adapt, and overcome. Your business is going to keep going, but the work you put into it right now will have the benefit, you know, in what is it, like 60, 90 days from now.
Yeah.
It may not just be instant gratification right now. Like, I've had leads and clients that called in that we were about to help them out, and then also I'm like, hey, we need a way to manage our budget. We'll come
right.
back in 3 months when everything settles down.
Right. Same here.
And then I'm still business as usual, just more educating people, helping them through a problem. Come back when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I'm not asking you to close right now. It's
mm-hmm.
just educating you to what's going to happen and being more humanistic about it.
One of the things you said it really fast, but I want to point it out. Improvise, modify, mm-hmm. adapt, and overcome. That's
yeah.
so poignant. Improvise, modify, adapt, and overcome. You said it's military principle. I'm not prior military, but I can see how that would be the case. But that's such great advice.
Yeah, no, it's just, I had a life of pivoting. My whole life was based on not so much like failures on my end, but just things happening that I
yeah.
just had to either pack my bags up and go,
mm-hmm.
or I had to just find a way to find my way through an issue, through a problem, improvise, modify it, adapt, be successful, and overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in court, as you start growing around, you can't just, you know, take a loss as a loss. Learn from it, grow.
Right. Right. So what else? So you talked about, you set the first point.
Oh, yeah. And so then I would just say the second part of it is to create an asset protection plan. Like, the first part you can do on your own. Create a
mm-hmm.
budget. Business, you know, try to advise, you know, like, get your business going. The second part of it is proactive planning. If you're going to be sued potentially from these future lawsuits that have come down, you need to protect your assets. That's where you go to professionals and you let us create the systems for you. And now you're protected. And that's your backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can do both of those two things, then you're going to let them start working for you sooner. If you do nothing, you're going to, one, run out of money. And then two, you're going to leave all of your assets and your hard assets available, you know, open for an attack.
Thank you for that. And now, so let's, I was thinking as you were talking, we need to talk about assets and the types of assets that we need to protect. Like, that in itself is a whole, I feel like, is a whole conversation, you know, and how,
yeah.
one of the various ways that we protect our assets.
Yeah. So we can go through the whole roadmap. Of how to go through it, because there's not just a one size fit all
right.
you know, system. I mean, there's if, you know, I don't have much money and I have one thing, where do I start? You know, I'm not going to spend $30,000 on a Taj Mahal. So we can go through the whole roadmap of asset protection. And I would say some key principles of it is that we can talk about is, you know, equity and cash flow, inside versus outside liability, where LLCs, you know, fall into the picture of it, mm-hmm. and then break down some of the big guns, asset protection trusts, you know, especially mm-hmm. for doctors and investors, you know, and then you have these confusing options of being purely domestic in the U.S. mm-hmm. or offshore, mm-hmm. which do we pick? Can we combine the two? Mm-hmm. And let's just go through that roadmap. And I think then your listeners will have a really good understanding about all the options on the table.
I love that.
Yeah. So I would say the first big concept that comes to protecting, you know, real estate and businesses is that equity and cash flow are what really matters. Mm-hmm. You know, no one really cares about fair market value when it comes to lawsuits. Real estate almost always has debt with it, and same with businesses. Mm-hmm. And so what this means is like a building worth $3.5 million, and then you have a $3.2 million of it in debt, mm-hmm. actually has less net value than a building that's worth $650,000 that's paid off in full. Mm-hmm. And so it goes to the saying that gross value is vanity, net is sanity, and cash is king. Why you care about for asset protection purposes is that because if you have a judgment creditor looking to collect on you, they don't care about gross, you know, they care about the cash value, you know, and cash flow coming in. That's what they're trying to get at. And then we can go into then the next one is inside versus outside liability. And it's really applicable for investors and doctors. Mm-hmm. And I think doctors overlook this part of it a lot. Inside liability is liability that comes from inside your business, you know, from your business activities, from your practice.
Right.
Like having an investment property inside an LLC and then somebody gets hurt, you know, or the house burns down and there's a, you know, there's a party and someone gets drunk and drives and kills somebody, you know, or there's a medical malpractice claim that's inside your liability, inside your practice.
Mm-hmm.
The creditor's claim is going to be limited to what's inside that business if you have a business entity set up like an LLC. Now, if you have, let's say, one property and one LLC, that's fine. But what if you start having four properties and one LLC and then get sued? All those other properties are on the hook. Mm-hmm. Or if you just stuff them all into your business entity, like your practice, you need to separate out those liabilities.
Right.
Outside liability is for like first, what's that?
Can I have a quick question?
Yeah.
So you know, as you're talking about the, you know, with, if you're having multiple properties, are you suggesting, and I know this, like you said, it's individual, but are you suggesting there might be a possibility of needing to put each property in a different LLC?
That's generally what we recommend, especially if you're investing in assets that are in different states. So like if you're mm-hmm. a California resident and then I have a property in Florida, I have a property in Colorado, and I have a property here, mm-hmm. you don't want to stick them all into one LLC mm-hmm. because if one property blows up and explodes, you can't stop an exploding asset, but you can stop what the effect is on other assets if you structure the systems up properly.
Got it.
And it gets to a point to where if I have four properties that are all in one state, you know, in an LLC, one LLC, and that equity is about $1 million, what happens if one property in that LLC blows up? It can go into all the other equity of all the other properties to mm-hmm. claim on. So in that situation, we would say divide up the equity just in case one asset goes boom, you're still protecting the rest of them.
Got it. Thank you.
No problem. And then we have to deal with outside liability. So like more personal liability, you know, it's liability that comes from outside your business, more in your personal life, like hitting somebody with your car, going to the grocery store or something like that. And so the solution is to address both types of liability. You know, the first level, like we were just talking about, is to create an LLC to hold property or to create your business structure through. Mm-hmm. This isolates the inside liability to that single property or that business,
mm-hmm.
and then insulates the real estate, you know, from your normal outside liability or your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just scale up as you go. As you get more LLCs, you create a management company, which mm-hmm. streamlines your tax filings, and it makes it simplified and easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into the big guns, asset protection trust, when you hit around that $1 million net worth mark, or you're, you know, I get a lot of my clients are doctors. So you're a doctor with a high, you know, potential for malpractice, plus you have a side business, mm-hmm. you know, cash flowing real estate or what other, you know, investment strategies that you have. That's when you bring in the asset protection trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the asset protection trust, you know, like I was saying, it's the final layer. And what we're doing is picking jurisdictions. And what a jurisdiction means is that the laws and rules that govern you and trusts and business entities and states are going to be different from one state from another, one country to another,
mm-hmm.
Even one countries to another. It's kind of like those old West, you know, what is it, like criminal law movies, Perry Mason, like, oh, the body fell down and split between two county lines. That was my jurisdiction. They fight over, the sheriffs are fighting over who gets to have the case.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing when it comes into lawsuits, is some jurisdictions are horrible, California, horrible. Some are strong, Cook Islands, very, very, very strong. Mm-hmm. And so you have two options when you create these, like I said, offshore or domestically. Mm-hmm. I prefer the power of going offshore for higher risk professionals and investors, mm-hmm. but that's just because they have what's called statutory non-recognition. They just don't recognize another state or country's court orders or judgments. For example, in the Cook Islands, you'd have to start your case all over from scratch, facing the highest legal standard in the world, the murder standard, beyond a reasonable doubt. The plaintiffs, you know, have to front all the court costs and then fly in a judge from New Zealand. You can't take your U.S. Contingency fee lawyers with you over there. And if you lose, you pay. And you're trying to prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt. So most likely you're going to lose. And then their statute of limitations are only 1 year. Mm-hmm. So it sounds really great, but there's pros and cons to everything, just mm-hmm. like LLCs or anything else. Mm-hmm. To be purely foreign is generally overkill, and it's a lot of money. And then it involves a lot of additional IRS filings, tax filings, disclosures, which most people don't want to disclose what they own.
Right.
What you can do then is say, okay, I want to create a domestic asset protection trust. Mm-hmm. They're good on cost because they're cheaper, mm-hmm. but they fail on effectiveness because of the U.S. Constitution. We have the full faith and credit clause. Any other state, if I'm a California resident and I get sued in another state, that state's court still has to honor other states' judgments. You can't mm-hmm. run from a judgment and seek protection from another state's court laws.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also seeing a weakening of domestic asset protection trust. And we have a few cases like In Re Hubbard, Dale versus Dale, Tony versus Wacker, that have just completely disregarded out-of-state choice jurisdiction laws, which means if I'm a California resident who doesn't have an asset protection trust and I go to Nevada to create an asset protection trust, well, I'm not a resident of Nevada. So if I get sued in California, what they're saying now is, well, you're not a resident of Nevada. We don't care. And so they're not recognizing those out-of-state trusts.
Mm.
And so you just had a false sense of security because you thought you had something to protect you, and now it doesn't because you're not a resident of that state.
Wow.
And so what you can do is actually marry the two together with what's called a bridge trust. And it's just named a bridge trust. It's been in existence for over 30 years. It combines the simplicity and flexibility and cost efficiency of a domestic plan. Mm-hmm. And then we also create the Foreign Asset Protection Trust in the Cook Islands of it. Mm-hmm. And so you have both trusts in existence at the same exact time. It's anchored here domestically in the U.S. because mm-hmm. we drafted into compliance with IRS compliance called the control test and the court test. If you ever get sued, what happens is an automatic trigger then causes a migration clause, which you just transfer your assets, cross a bridge to the Cook Islands, and then the offshore Cook Islands trustee takes over, you're dropped as a trustee. And then what happens is any judgment that comes down, that offshore trustee is just going to say, we don't care. We don't recognize it. Go pound sand. Sue us here. And so that's where this true strength and power comes into this, is saying, okay, now I had a worthless judgment. And so we generally force claims to settle very, very fast or before they even get filed in court.
Interesting. So moral of the story, bridge trust.
Yeah, bridge trust. And you know, it's a lot that we went over, and it kind of works like this. Like the first layer is your base layer. It's your LLC, your business entity.
Right.
Like real estate or other assets that you have. Or like your practice, you know, your medical practice, mm-hmm. you know, things that can hurt somebody or that has a key or and it can go boom.
Yeah.
You put into LLCs. The next layer is your asset management limited partnership. That's your management company.
Right.
It holds all the companies together into one. And then it also holds like cash, stocks, bonds, receivables, and like whatever can hurt somebody. All the LLCs are held inside that AMLP. You being the client will then become the general partner of the AMLP, mm-hmm. and that gives you control of the assets in the mm-hmm. holding company.
Mm-hmm.
The final layer, you know, it's really cold outside. We're going to go skiing. We put on our winter jacket, is the asset protection bridge trust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be the minority limited partner owner of that asset management limited partnership. That's the controlling interest. You know, it's not the controlling interest, but it's the ownership interest.
Mm-hmm.
And that separates you from ownership and use and enjoyment because the trust owns it. And then two things happen. Either you die, hopefully many, 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 many years from now, decades from now, and then your assets get distributed by your, you know, revocable living trust directives.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a crisis, something bad happens, you get sued, and then the triggering event happens, and then everything transfers over to the strength and power and protection of the Cook Islands, and then we force really cheap settlements.
Mm. Wow. So that's a mouthful, but thank you for breaking it down, because it did actually make it understandable, like the layers. There are so many layers, and that is why you need a professional.
And that's why where these fail is doing them yourself. You're like, oh you can go create an LLC on your own. But the issue is always, what happens when it's challenged in court? Whatever you set up, what happens when it's challenged in court? If you think you're going to DIY it, most likely it's going to get just diced up and sliced up with no problem.
So the question that I have is, at what level, because, you know, there are solopreneurs, and there's small business owners, and then there are probably practice owners, and then there are some people who have invested a little bit, and then some people have, you know, they've invested in syndicates, or some who have invested in, you know, in residential real estate. At what level do you know you need to move to that next level from the LLC to the management company,
yeah,
to the trust? Like, what? How do you know when it's time for you to move to that next level?
Yeah. So what we do is look over your whole risk profile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have a high risk in your medical malpractice, but then not have very many side investments.
Right.
But you still need the bridge trust because you don't want to lose your car, your house, you know, and you may want to start investing. So we look at the whole picture.
Okay.
And then you got to also look at, what assets do I have? So generally, I just look at the total net worth that you have. What is it that you could potentially be getting sued from? Your mm-hmm. medical profession, your side investments,
mm-hmm.
the age of your kids driving your car while they're underage, you know, maybe side businesses that you have. And what are all of those liabilities? And then we look at, what can you lose? You know, do you have a bunch of assets that are almost paid in cash, or are they all highly leveraged with a lot of mortgages on it? Because that debt can protect you, because there's not much equity to get.
Right.
So we look at, what's the net worth, you know, which is minus liability that someone can get. And then we start talking about, when it's low, start with a business structure and a business entity, LLCs or S-Corps, you know, for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
If you're owning real estate, put them into LLCs. And then you scale. As you start getting more liability and more assets, more equity, then you need to add another component, another LLC.
Mm-hmm.
That then gets really time-consuming and difficult tax-wise, and you're
right.
going to start irritating your CPA and get financially, you know, confusing. So you consolidate it into a management company, and all the K-1s flow straight through that management company.
Okay.
Then when you hit around that 1 million net worth mark, is when you need to really analyze and say, wow, one good lawsuit can wipe out everything that I got.
Right.
And it took a long time to work for that. So then you start talking about, you know, like the bridge trust option, to where it's both domestic and foreign if you need to,
mm-hmm.
because the domestic part is starting to get weakened. The foreign part is overkill.
Right.
But you can combine the best of both worlds, so you might as well get the best of both worlds and
right.
protect that 1 million net worth mark or more.
Right.
And we leave it out. You know, you would think like, oh man, it sounds like I need, it would be a higher net worth to skip to that level, but it's really not, because one, it's not that expensive. You're talking about $30,000 to protect $1 million or more.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-time fee. So
right.
it makes sense.
Yeah.
But it takes a long time for most people to make, you know, $500,000 or 1 million of net worth. That's minus liability.
Right.
And it takes most people a lifetime, and one lawsuit can completely wipe it away.
Right.
And so that's why we see the profile of the clients generally that call in, you know, and are ready for it, are around that 500,000 to 1.5 million net worth mark, because it's taken them so long to get to it. And they've seen neighbors get sued, or other, you know, people they're working with being sued. They've already gone through a medical malpractice lawsuit and now mm-hmm. are like, I don't want to go through this again. And yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. That's great to hear. And you know, as you're talking about putting houses in LLCs, are you suggesting that even one's own house, like the house that you live in, should be put in an LLC? Just property, is what you're saying.
Property investment.
I didn't think so, but I wanted to, because, you know, some people might hear it that way, right?
No, yeah, and it's a great follow-up question on that. And so, no, your individual, like, investment properties would go into an LLC. And then your personal residence, no, because then you would lose the benefit of, you know, personal home ownership, tax benefits. Right. And then if you sell that house, I think it's a $250,000 tax, you know, benefit. So you would lose all of that. But if you put it into a trust, you can protect. So your house can go into the asset protection bridge trust. And so you can protect your house and the equity in your house if you have a bridge trust, because you can put and transfer your residence into a trust. It's through the St. Germain's Act.
Okay, got it, got it. So basically, and I want to talk a little bit more about trust, because I know that there's different types of trust. And I'll tell you, when I was in residency, we had some asset protection attorneys come through and give us this whole overview. And what I took away was, I need a trust.
Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously not in that moment, because I don't really have any any assets, but I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a trust at some point, but then I don't know anything else about that, right? So I would love if you talk about the various trusts to the extent you can, and what do we need to know about trust?
Yeah, so all trusts aren't created equal. There's lots of different trusts for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people get confusion of, well, I have a revocable living trust. You know, like basically when you die, it tells you what assets are going to be distributed to who.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an asset protection trust, but you still need one. A revocable living trust is going to dictate who your assets go to, like my kids or my grandkids, my nephews, nieces, and all of that,
mm-hmm.
and medical directives.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to help you avoid probate.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in that's going to help you protect your assets, though, because they're not designed to. They can't. And then you have asset protection trusts.
Mm-hmm.
Asset protection trusts are it's called self-settled spendthrift trusts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a fancy word for meaning they're created by you, for your own benefit. And there's only 17 states in the U.S. that created some sort of self-settled spendthrift legislation. Started in Alaska about 10 years after the Cook Islands. So the Cook Islands came first, created the Asset Protection Trust in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years later, Alaska started, and they came in, and then you have 17 other states
mm-hmm.
that created some sort of legislation for this.
Mm-hmm.
The issue with it is that if you're not a resident of that state, there's really no benefit for you there. But you do need both. So a trust is not all trusts are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other type of trusts. I mean, there's called what's called a high set trust. I don't really think that would be applicable to here, but it's called the Have Your Cake and Eat It Too Trust. It's an amazing trust if you want to take about 20 minutes. So what it is it came after the recession. A really, really great, smart guru, asset protection attorney, Jeffrey Verdon, you know, came out and has some clients worth, you know, $500 million or more.
Right.
And they wanted to have some tax benefits and take about $20 million off of their taxable estate and give it to their grandchildren or their kids.
Mm.
But if, you know, your kid decides to become, you know, a drunk or a druggie, or they just need the money back for another recession, generally when you give something to somebody, you can't get it back. But he was able to find a way legally to create what's called the high set trust, because I can gift, you know, you and put this $20 million into a gift trust and take advantage of the gift laws and max those out, gift it to my, whoever I want to gift it to, take that money out of my taxable estate,
mm-hmm.
and then put it into growing, you know, 6 or 10% capital gains free.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I need the money back for whatever reason, I can get the money back now and still not have to pay the capital gains tax.
Oh my goodness.
So that's your have your cake and eat it too trust, high set trust.
Clearly.
Yes.
Interesting. Look, yeah. Fun facts.
Yeah, but so there's a lot of different trusts. There's land trust, which we use when you're starting out. And let's say you have an investment property, you only need one LLC, you have a lot of debt on the property, and you're going to transfer it over and you're concerned about the bank calling the note due, the mortgage due by the transfer of sale clause. You transfer it into a land trust, the land trust holds it, and then it's connected to the LLC. So land trusts have no protection whatsoever, but the LLCs do.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the advantage of the land trust, transferring the property into that land trust, and then you get the protection with the LLC.
Wow. Okay. Very good. Well, this is all so informational. I'm trying to think of what other questions I have, but because you've covered so much, and I feel like, you know, and we talked about this even before the show, that, you know, I think to this point, this has been very, very informational, and I feel like this is going to be the first of maybe a few conversations that we have, because I think other questions will probably come up from this conversation alone.
Oh, a lot. It's a good starter, and there's a lot of information, so I would just recommend people to listen to it a few times and just understand the availability of it. But one principle I would think to break down, so, you know, why people should even care if you're an investor or whatever, is what happens in court. And it's a distinction of legal versus practical authority. Mm-hmm. And it's a big point, especially if you have LLCs, is that the reality is that a judge can and they do whatever a judge wants to do. You know, like, for example, you have LLCs and LPs, which are limited partnerships, and they're governed by the state statutes where they're created in. So what this means is that if you create, let's say, a Nevada LLC, and the exclusive remedy against this Nevada LLC is going to be a charging order. And so a judge, even in California, by statute, may not issue a remedy other than that charging order against the property. So it means that we shouldn't be able to go after your personal assets. We should just be able to get what's in that LLC, and it should just stop there. But theory and practicality seldom ever mix. You know, it's just, you know, the way life works out.
Yeah.
It's called practical authority. It's the power a judge actually has to make decisions. And judges actually have a superpower that they can use called the court of equity. Judges have very broad powers to reach your assets, including seizing them, placing a lien on them for closing, ordering a sheriff's sale, you know, clearing title for a clean sale, wage garnishment. And the problem is judges, even without legal authority to do this, do these things by exercising the practical authority through court of equity. And this can be done in direct contradiction to statutes and case law. And so the result is that the court's practical authority just took your asset with no legal authority. And so the solution is asset protection. It just hinders the judge's practical authority over your assets. So that they can't circumvent and go around the legal process. And so that's where all these different tools that we have come into play to level the playing field, to put you back into a position of strength.
Wow. So, you know, one of the things that I'm really getting is, you know, we need to really think about having our whole, like our finances looked at, like the assets looked at, having an assessment done. Just to see where we are, because knowledge is power. And then from there, you know, having the assessment done, you can be given the roadmap, and you can acquire the appropriate level of help from an attorney like yourself to get the protection that you need for whatever level that you are, as a doc, as an investor, as a, you know, as an entrepreneur, a business owner. That's sort of like the big takeaway that I'm taking away from this conversation, and that there are so many different levels of protection based on where you are. And like, if you're, you know, just starting out as a business owner, or even just coming out as a physician, your risk may be low, but you still need to be in connection with and communication with and have that assessment and have sort of like the roadmap. Okay, when you get here, come back and let's do this. When you get here, come back and let's do this. That's a lot of what I'm getting from this conversation. And then there are all the details, which I myself even feel like I need to go back and listen to this about 5 times and just like take notes, you know, maybe go transcribe it and then like read it, you know, then I can come back and talk to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of information there, but you're right. You know, the breakdown is like, one, plan ahead. You know,
plan
be prevented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, like, these things don't work if you come in after the fact. The judges will say, that's hindrance, that's fraud. Mm-hmm. If you set it up beforehand, good. And then it's scalable. You know, like, don't pay for the Taj Mahal when you don't need the Taj Mahal. Start where you're at. Mm-hmm. You're like, for us, I have some clients that are calling, you know, doctor or business owner or whatever. They're not ready for a bridge trust, but they're ready for an LLC. Mm-hmm. And then we just stage up with them as they go, you know, and you need the full assessment. If you call up a firm and ask a protection firm and they don't go over your entire financial life and risk and liability and where it's coming from and how to mitigate it, hang up the phone and go talk to somebody else, because you need a full picture. And if they're only going to pitch you one option as a, you know, magic silver bullet, hang up the phone. There's no such thing as a magic silver bullet. Mm-hmm. There's options. There's things that you can do. Some will have better tax benefits than others. Some won't. Mm-hmm. Asset protection is tax neutral.
Yeah.
We have to create it that way. Otherwise, it's tax fraud.
Mm-hmm. You know, just in terms of people wanting to reach out to you, are you licensed across multiple states? Do you, if you're not, do you have connections in other states? So, like, you know, I'm sure we have physicians and medical professionals and entrepreneurs who are all over the country listening to this. And of course, they're going to be like, oh, I need to go and talk to an asset protection attorney now. And so, of course,
yeah.
I need them to know if they can contact you. And if they contact you and you're maybe not licensed in that particular state, do you have connections everywhere? Do you
have eyes everywhere? I'm connected.
I need you to have eyes everywhere.
Godfather principles. You know. But no, the great thing about asset protection is I can do it nation and worldwide.
Awesome.
And so that's the great thing about it, because when you talk about, I'm licensed in 4 states, you know, California, Oregon, Washington, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about passing the bar, it means if I'm going to represent a client in courts, you have to pass the bar. I can't go represent a client and speak on a legal behalf to a judge or a body legally without having that state's bar license.
Right.
But transactional work, we can do nationwide for anybody in any state and worldwide. And we also have a nationwide affiliation that we have through Asset Protection Council, that we have with some of the greatest lawyers, you know, state, nationwide. And so, yeah, we are fully connected.
Awesome. I love that. And it's, that's a great distinction because, you know, as a physician, you have to be licensed state by state, and the practice of medicine is where the patient is right now. During the COVID, you know, this COVID thing, you know, that's relaxed. You telemedicine, you know, you can practice across state lines. And I'm hoping that they actually relax that permanently. It's interesting to know that, you know, you can, transactionally speaking, it's nationwide. So
exactly. Like, I had to take so many state bars just for, you know, my wife working in hospital, you know, hospital and getting her experience. And, you know, I was like, okay, I'm still a trial lawyer. So I had, every state we moved to, I had to go and get a new license,
yes.
a new license and take the bar exam and everything. But no, transactional things, we can do nationwide. Revocable living trust isn't transactional though. You got to go to a state attorney for that.
Okay. Good to know. So let's get your website so people know where to go find you, how to follow you.
Yeah, they can jump on my website, www.btblegal.com, and tons of educational information on there, lots of videos, probably every question that you can have, I have on a frequently asked question page, and then lots of brochures for you to read through to break down asset protection. And just email, feel free to email me, Brian, B-R-I-N, at btblegal.com. I used to do charge consultations. I just don't like that anymore. So we do free consultations because most people just don't want to pay for a consultation. They want to pay when they decide, but they're afraid to call lawyers because they want to shop around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd rather you just call, get an evaluation. Here's my recommendation. Here's my scaling recommendation. Here's the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you want. Get the education and then make an educated decision. Just don't be afraid to call a lawyer.
I know I'm going to be calling you.
No,
for sure. You're my new friend. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, one of the things when I in my mastermind as I'm, you know, prepping these docs to begin their businesses, I talk about building the dream team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the important people on the dream team is our attorneys.
Yeah, so, I agree with the dream team thing. It goes same with principles of investing or business. You got to have your circle of people that, you know, is going to be your CPA, your financial advisor, your attorney, throw in a medical doctor in there. that you're going to be able to have every answer to everything in the world. But if you create a good, knowledgeable team of, you know, everyone working together, your success rate is going to shoot through the roof. If you think you're going to do it alone, you're going to fail.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I talked to a therapist yesterday. She said a therapist should be on your team, too. So, because, you know.
No, sometimes. I mean, if you don't have a person that can give you unbiased. And
You should have a therapist on tap, you know, for when things like COVID.
That's not going to charge you. Is this a phone call or is this a session?
Can I Marco Polo you? Yes. Well, you know, we're going to have, just for the listeners, we're going to have all of Brian's information. I don't know why I keep calling you Bradley. I'm so sorry. Brian's information. You have two first names.
I do. And a first, Thomas is my middle name. So Brian.
Oh, my
Thomas.
God. You have three first names.
I have three first names. I even have people that start calling me Brad. I'm like, I don't know where Brad comes in.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have all of Brian Bradley's information in the show notes, including the website. And, you know, so you guys, like, really reach out to him. I know I'm going to be reaching out to him, get my assessment done, and know that wherever you are, it doesn't matter. You should get that assessment done so you can have a plan. You know, I'm always talking about with my entrepreneurs, you need to have a strategy. You need to have a plan, a roadmap, an algorithm, something, so that you know you can take the long view and you know, okay, this is how I'm going to set myself up for success. In this case, this is how you set yourself up for success from an asset protection standpoint. So, Brian, I appreciate you coming on, and for this, for me, as far as I'm concerned, it's part one of you know, multiple conversations that we'll have. And really, number one, just giving us the roadmap. But number two, like really letting people know, okay, this is what you need to be thinking about from a COVID-19 standpoint, the fallout that could happen and what you can do to begin to protect yourself. Like, what do you need to be thinking about so that, you know, you can get ahead of this potential snowball. So thanks for coming on and sharing with us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much again for having me on. I hope that your listeners get a lot of value out of it.
Oh, they will. I sure did. So y'all, you go and check out Brian Bradley at www.btblegal.com. He's also on Facebook. I'll post his Facebook page in the show notes. And I met Brian on LinkedIn. So he's on LinkedIn as well. If you're on LinkedIn, primarily connect with him on LinkedIn. And, check him out. Give him a call. Go to his website and check out all the resources that he has. And, of course, y'all know where to find me if you need me, drmaisha.com. And so I appreciate all the listeners as usual. And, share this episode. Share this episode with your colleagues, with your friends. This is a very, very valuable information. And we will see you on the next podcast. Y'all have a great rest of the day and a great rest of the week. Namaste.
Thanks for spending time with us on this episode of Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box. We hope you enjoyed this one as much as the rest. Remember to go ahead and hit the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is released. It is you as our listener who helps our podcast to grow. So if you like this podcast, if you enjoy what you're hearing, if you are inspired, we'd really appreciate it if you'd write a quick review and share it with 5 of your friends. We want to continue to expand our reach and bring this transformation to all of those doctors and medical professionals out there who are still seeking more autonomy, more freedom, more expression, and purpose in their careers and lives. Finally, if you want to learn more about how I can help you as a doctor or medical professional transform your mindset, leverage your skill set, and create a profitable business and career you love by your design, please check out my website, www.drmaisha.com. That's drmaisha.com. On my website, you can access one of my 3 free masterclasses to get you started on your journey to the next level. Have a wonderful rest of the day and an amazing rest of the week, y'all. And keep your head up, looking to the next level. Namaste.